You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Yeah, we are not even started yet. We have not even started the conversation, and I'm already getting messages saying, I don't want to talk about my hair. Thanks, bye. Like, we have not even opened up the conversation. Friends, positive energy, deep breaths. All right, I know we're talking about hair politics. I know the African women listening to me right now are just like, why are we talking about this? But this is an interesting conversation that we're going to have. And we're talking about her hair, her crown. Hair is never just hair. It often carries layers of cultural, social, and even spiritual meaning for some people in some communities. For many women, especially in African communities, how one chooses to wear their hair can trigger conversations about identity and beauty, beauty standards, professionalism, freedom, and all of that stuff. In the last few years, we've seen the natural hair movement and all these things that have been happening. So let's talk honestly about it. Martha Masinja joins us on the line to speak about this subject. Martha, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Bonnie. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. I'm doing all right. Martha, are you all right?
I am. I'm okay.
All right, let's get straight into it. The people are listening. The people are already getting aggressive about their hair. Why is it such a sensitive and political issue in so many societies, especially for us as Black women?
Yeah. Okay, maybe before we go ahead, let's whisper a prayer.
Sure.
Our dear Heavenly Father, my Lord, here is it another opportunity to hear what you have to say on this issue. At the end of the day, O Lord, not us, but you be seen, be known, and be heard, and be glorified. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So, actually, when you were introducing the lesson, I think when you started your program, you were saying, no, you also have a way that you've adopted, yeah, or rather an adoption that you put to your hair and how you keep your hair as well as your children. I was like, oh, cool. That's really nice. But then you will notice that, for example, when someone comes and asks you, okay, Wongi, describe for me, how is your daughter like? Describe her in a few sentences. Mm-hmm. You will find that even in your description, hair does not, hair is there in your description.
Right.
You will notice that when describing someone, hair is not left out. You say, no, she's slim, she's tall, and she has a lot of hair, or she's slim, she's tall, she has long hair, and all that. You find that in our descriptions, hair is usually there. Yeah. That's to show you that it's very, very big. It's a big issue.
Yeah.
Because when we talk of hair, we are talking of diversity in culture, in beliefs. We're talking of diversity even in religion as well. So you find that people grow up in different places, specifically in Africa. When people are from South Africa, there's a certain type of way they keep their hair.
Mm-hmm.
And also in Zambia, in Nigeria, so many different types of ways that people would keep their hair. And this diversity, I think this is what makes people, depending on the culture and where they come from, as well as families to some extent. So some of them would always put loyalty to how they keep their hair according to their culture. They would say, I will keep my hair like this because this is how our generation has been.
Yeah.
And I will keep it to the very end.
Yeah.
So, you know, people actually hold loyalty to their heritage, sometimes to their religion. I can even speak of, let's say, some people would rather cover their hair because they believe that only their husbands are supposed to see their hair.
Yeah.
So it's diverse. Some people, like in Nigeria, in the olden days, I used to read some novels by Chinua Achebe, a very known writer. He would say beautiful ladies in their time would tie their hair with cotton as it would fall down on their back. And, you know, like their hair is so dark and bored.
Mm.
And when they tie their hair with cotton, you find that there are those pointy things in their hair. And for them, that's what made them beautiful.
Yes.
So hair is such a sensitive and political issue in many societies because of the diversity of cultures.
Yeah.
and the diversity of religion, as well as diversity of our heritage, depending on where someone is coming from and how they have grown up. I think that's how best I can put it. Because, you know, in some cultures, you find that what you do is a taboo in their culture.
Yes.
But you find that in your culture, it's normal. I mean, I can just easily put my hair anyhow and go maybe to China. But in China, they'll be like, oh, what is this? Yeah. What is going on?
Yeah.
But it's the diversity that I think the world does not really seem to embrace. And I think that's why it's a very big issue, because of the diversity.
For sure, for sure. And what you're saying makes so much sense. And I've experienced that, where in some places where I go, you know, I would have to cover my hair because of whatever the belief systems are in certain societies about the way that I wear my hair, and other places where generally, not even because of the way I wear my hair, generally women's heads have to be covered up, especially in a worship setting and things like that. And that's just, that just speaks to that diversity in our cultures and in our belief systems. And sometimes we have this stubbornness. like, oh, this is how I wear my hair, and you have no right to tell me anything. So how do we then challenge unfair beauty norms without shaming individual choices?
Now, on this part, Vongi, it's a very tricky thing, because you find that some beauty norms when it comes to hair, we've been taught that for you to be seen as a person who has good hair, it has to be straight.
Yeah.
Or it has to be straightened, it has to be blonde. And you find that a lot of African, okay, I'll speak much on African women because I'm an African as well. Yes. Not really, yeah. And because our friends, the whites, I think they are blessed with beautiful, nice hair. I think on that, I give God a plus. I would always give a thumbs up. God, Lord, you blessed these people. But on our part, it's that thing where the beauty norms that have come in play are that you have to have your hair laid, you know, to be straight. And so you find that even as a little child, the mother will take her to the saloon. They blow the hair, they perm it, they put it, a lot of things going on just to ensure that they meet the beauty norms in the society. And you find that that's quite challenging, because I think at the end of the day, if you were to ask me, how can we challenge unfair beauty norms without shaming individual choices? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, what I can say is health. I think health is the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Because then when we respect health, many beauty norms maybe would not be put to, like, let me say individual choices would not be put to shame, because then you'll be taking care of your hair according to the health.
Yeah.
For example, I can give an example. I think I'm not really a medical personnel, but I know doctors and medical personnel would agree with me that when you over manipulate your hair and you are over stretching it, you are over heating it, I think that causes a replication to the brain. I don't know. This is what I have read and I have believed it, because I have tried it before and it has happened. You find that when so much pressure is put on your head, and when so much heat is put on your head, you find that you tend to have a headache. Let's say even when someone is plaiting you, because, I mean, we have heard of, no, my hair routine.
Mm.
So when you're doing your hair routine, when you finish washing it, you find that you want to put a protective hairstyle, quite all right.
Yeah.
And then you find that as someone is putting that protective hairstyle, there is a lot of pulling. And I've seen a lot of babies the other day at church on Sabbath. I was laughing with my friend in my heart. I was like, I saw this girl, a little girl, very pretty girl, beautiful.
Mm.
She was with a very nice hairstyle. But the little puffs that they tied were like pulling her eyes. Her eyes were also showing that the hair is being pulled. Yeah, there's a lot of tension. So, you know, these are unfair beauty norms. You find that someone, because we have been taught that as Africans, or rather as Black people, our hair is so kinky and it's hard to style, we need to put something to it in order for you to style it. But I think that's unfair, because health-wise, I think we tend to over-manipulate, overheat, and at the end of the day, because there's repercussions, even in how we think. I think we are all, I'm speaking to some Adventist women, we all believe that our frontal lobe is the citadel, right? of the brain is where we make many decisions. But if that part of the brain rather is overtasked to make the blood flow around and find that there's a lot of blood flowing there and there's a lot of commotion and you find that you have a headache, you tend not to be able to think straight because then you have inconvenience on the best decisions that you can make. So, you know, so many challenging hair beauty norms that have been put out there. But another example of the beauty norm is that the hair should be, you know, tied, and especially on the blacks, by the way, on the blacks, is that the hair should be tied so that you look like, you know, you are an independent feminist, so that you look like indeed you know what you're doing. But I think it's really important to know that we need to let our hair rest. Let it rest. Let it go. Let it rest, because the more we task it with a lot of hair bands, a lot of wigs, which I understand that some people put wigs just in order, maybe they're afraid, maybe they don't comb their hair properly, and then they'll say, no, it's a bad hair day, I'll just get a wig and comb it and put it up. Yeah. But then I think when there's a lot of heat on our brains and on our hair, it tends to have a repercussion even in how we think. So it's these are how, now challenging these beauty norms without shaming individual choices, I think Rwanda would say, the best thing we can do is think about our health. How is our health? Because a friend of mine actually said, beauty is not found in how other people perceive you, but how you take care of yourself.
Do
you take care of yourself?
I love that.
So I think that's how we can challenge these unfair beauty norms without shaming individual choices. Health.
Beautiful. I think when you talk about health, I'm thinking you've already talked about, you know, the tension and the idea that our hair is only well kept and only beautiful when it's straightened, or when, even if you look at the natural hair movement I was talking about a moment ago, you find that a lot of times natural hair would only be celebrated in these last few years. It's celebrated when it's long, or when it's full, when it's thick, you know. And but those early days when someone has just done their big chop and they're trying it out, it's like those first few months or years, it has to remain cornrows under a wig or under a weave. It has to be hidden at all times until it gets to a certain length. Then it's worthy to be praised. It's worthy of that glory. But we have to change that. And even once it gets long, it's like it has to be in like a twist out. It's like we're trying to emulate a different curl pattern and things like that. Whereas we really need to learn to just let your hair be what God created it to be. If someone decides that for them it's easier, life is simpler when it's relaxed and straightened, not because they have a different standard of beauty and the kinky, coily African hair is not beautiful. No, it's just easier for me to manage my hair when it's straightened. Go for it. Go ahead and do that. No one should look down on you for that. If you prefer to have it natural, go for it. If you like it shorter, go for it. I think that it would be helpful if you would just celebrate all these different types and different styles, different, and instead of celebrating that one specific standard. It's not about the length of your hair. It's not about the texture of your hair. Like you said, it's about the health of your hair. And I think that's a beautiful point. If we just focus on being healthy, then that should help us. That should help not just us, even the children who are coming up after us, to recognize it's not about the length, it's not about the texture, it's just about being healthy. That's a beautiful point. Now, looking at what you were talking about, you know, how we would often look at people of different races and think, oh, that is the standard of beauty when it comes to hair. What role has colonial history played in shaping attitudes toward African hair?
Now you will be shocked to realize that 80%, it's actually a statistic, and it's true. It has been done. It's a statistic.
Yeah.
Okay. You will realize that 80% of Black women feel forced to change their hair natural hair to fit in an environment. They more like feel for. Now, can you imagine 80% of Black women? Those people, like most of us actually, we feel like I think I need to change to this kind of hairstyle because my natural hair is not really accepted. So we feel forced to just, you know, follow the crowd. But then, just like you said, the role that colonial history has played in shaping attitudes toward African hair. I was even doing a small research. I looked at some people in the our forefathers, I would call them, our freedom fighters, you know. Most of them, they left their hair in such a way that because they believed what they believed. I think there were some, you know, traditions that some of them, if your hair is in a certain way, it represents that maybe you are wealthy. Some of them, if your hair is in a certain way, it represents that maybe you are not well-to-do. Some of them, because you are powerful in the society, you hold a lot of authority, you know. But all these things is about, actually, some of them is about the tribe. You know, people actually used to differentiate each other using their hairs, depending on the hair. They would say, okay, this is this tribe.
Yeah.
And, the marital status is this, either they are single or they are married.
Yeah.
Or this one, we think the hair is because of the age. Maybe they are below 20. Or some of them would say, oh, this hair is because their religion is like this. But when colonialism came, well, there's nothing we can do about it. We were colonized and we have to accept it. There were a lot of hair discrimination, especially for Black women. You'll find that right now there is underrepresentation of diverse hair types in media. I think after colonialism, you know, it has the colonialism has depleted our, you know, our common sense. I'm not saying it's in a bad way, but I think, you know, subconsciously, it has really made us feel inferior to a larger extent other than just holding money and being wealthy. What am I saying? The inferiority comes in even in not accepting our natural hair. Mm-hmm. Right now, you realize that on the media, you find that the people that represent maybe the models that would go around and do the modeling, their hair is always straight. And their hair is in a certain type of way. You find that there are very few Black women who just put it up there and it's kink and maybe it's an afro. There are very few who would put it up there. Now, you agree with me, Bonnie, that usually as Africans and everywhere else in the world, what we see on media is what we imitate most of the times. Whether you like it or not, what you see on media is what you like to imitate because you feel part of the movement, right?
Yeah.
But then, you find that what we're seeing on media, most of it is about Western people with white hair. And so because we are seeing it most of the times, we would also want to be like that. And, you know, subconsciously, you'd be like, oh, I like how they look. Oh, I'm just trying to maybe braid my hair and make it long, and maybe put a weave and put the gels and whatnot. So it's because of what we are seeing. And I think colonialism is still coming into play because we are being colonized, not accepting what we have always had, you know. So I think, you know, how it shapes the attitudes towards our African hair is vast, this same colonialism, because of what is laid out, we see it, we want to imitate.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really difficult to really come out and say, guys, I think you can style your black hair like this. There's really no much option. You know, there's no much, you know, what can I, alternatives. Yeah, there are no alternatives to be able to say, oh, black people, you can also style your hair like this. There's a limited amount of information when it comes to hair. And so you find that because of that, we have been told that they are able to tell us what we're supposed to do to our hair, which is quite unfair as well. So let me just give an example of, I'll give this example on the next question. Okay. I think this is what I can say.
Okay. Mm. Okay. So the next question then is, how can women be empowered to make hair choices that reflect authenticity instead of feeling pressured in one way or another?
You know, actually, let me just be quick to mention as well that the pressure comes both from school, professional in the corporate world, in our communities, even in our homes. The pressure is there. It's really there. But then how can we empower women to make hair choices that reflect authenticity and not pressure? Let me give an example of Sarah. Remember Sarah in the Bible?
Right.
Sarah and Abraham. You know, that woman, according to the Bible, I was shocked to realize that Sarah was beautiful. Mm-hmm. It took Abraham to lie about her twice. Yeah. When he went to Egypt, there's another place where he went. I think he lied that she's her sister. Mm-hmm. That's just how beautiful Sarah was. Now, Sarah was so beautiful. Now, I want to understand that. You remember when I said in the preamble that when you're describing someone, hair is not left out. I want to understand that even her hair, all of it, was beautiful. Mm. So it means to me that I think you can be naturally beautiful without even putting anything on you. Mm. So Sarah, I think for me, was amazing. I was like, wow. It means Sarah was really beautiful. Because how can Abraham lie about her? Even in his old age, he kept lying that she was my sister. Mm-hmm. Meaning she was beautiful. And then we can also look at the likes of Mary. Remember when she was pouring some oil on Jesus' feet?
Yes.
What did she use? Her hair. Meaning her hair was long and bald for it to be able to wipe the towel. Because I think it shows that She kept her hair so beautiful without even putting any extensions, anything to add color to it. I think it was beautiful. Mm. So beauty, like I said, is not found in how people perceive you. It is how you take care of yourself. I think that is beauty. Mm. When we read from Matthew 6, verse 28 to 33, I'll just quickly read it. Matthew 6, verse 28, it says, and I was amazed when I was reading this. I don't know if you have your Bible there, but I know I'm running out of time. Mm-hmm. But it says, bless Matthew 6, Luke, okay. Matthew, can you imagine I'm moving with my Bible at my workplace? Oh, yeah. Okay. So Matthew 6, verse 28, and it says, so why do you worry about clothing? Mm. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown off, will he not much more clothe you all you of little faith? So it's like God is saying, I have created you in my own image. And look, I even clothe the lilies of the valleys, the flowers, in a beautiful array. They don't, do we add anything to the flowers when we are watering them? Do we add anything? Oh, I think they need some color, or maybe they need some glitter. We don't, because they're just beautiful in how God created them. Now imagine us who are created in his image. He even went on to say, this is Jesus. He even wanted to say, Solomon, with all his riches, could not even reach the glory or the beauty of the flowers, because I've just naturally given them the beauty, because they are flowers and they're just growing according to how they're supposed to grow. What more you? How much more have I clothed you with your beautiful hair, Ronnie? Mm. Keep it well. Be healthy with that.
Yeah.
I've blessed you with that. So I think this is how we can empower women to make choices, that indeed we are beautiful. He has created us beautifully. Imagine the flowers. They don't even do anything to themselves, but they are beautiful in their own way. So we can reflect authenticity by accepting our beauty. I think there's a, remember the famous verse of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, the famous one that people would use. So it says, in like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Mm. Now, for me, when I talk of putting on things, I think it's not only about dress, even how you do your hair. I think everything about modesty comes all the way from the hair up to your toes. So Timothy, Paul is telling Timothy to say, tell your women that they should adorn themselves in modest apparel, in moderation. So it shouldn't be too much. Just be there because God has made you beautiful.
Yeah.
So you can reflect authenticity without even having pressures from the world. Because remember, you always have to remember my health. The lilies of the valleys are just beautiful the way they are. And after my health, I need to take care of myself. Then I will be okay.
Mm. I love that. Now, earlier on, you talked about the fact that the pressure that we feel sometimes comes from schools, it comes from our workplaces, It comes from society at large. What do you think schools and workplaces can do or consider regarding inclusive hair policies?
Okay. So on this one, I was even laughing to myself. I was telling my friend, like, these people, I don't know why they're giving me this topic to talk about it because I'm very young and I don't know what to say. Right. But as I was reading, I think I want to believe that God uses people in different ways. And may he speak even on this particular question. I read something. There is a woman. She was, she's a mentor, and she was telling a friend to say, there's a woman who followed her to be mentor to say, I really want to get a promotion at my workplace, but I have all the skills, I have everything, I work hard, I'm okay, I'm really good, I'm learned and all that. And then the woman said, go ask your boss for feedback. Then the woman went to ask the boss for feedback to say, but sir, I really want to get promoted. What can I do to get promotion and be out there? And then he told her bluntly to say, cut your hair.
Hey, bro.
So, I mean, I would also say, hi, bro. but in as much as he was blunt like that, he is a man, he understood what he was saying, but except, some men, it's difficult to express themselves properly and talk to a lady.
Yeah.
You'll just put it out there. But when he came back to the mentor actually said, I agree with what your boss says. Cut your hair. So the story goes on to say, we don't know whether she cut her hair or not, but she went on to say, usually in a workplace, for example, in a professional environment, mm-hmm. When you're going for work, for example, you're going for work, and I am going for work, and I'm here in an office seated, and I'm trying to work hard, do this, do that. But if my hair is long, according to the corporate world, when my hair is too long, it means when I'm talking to you, right? For example, we're having a conversation. When I'm talking to you, it means my hair will keep coming to my face, and I have to do that kama little, what do you call it?
I know it.
What?
Like flick it out.
I have to, put it under my hair, not even, and also put it under my ear, like that kind of thing.
Right.
Yes, yes. Like, you like, do this.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wish I was that. Like, I wish you would be, but you're like, yes. Yeah, like, you keep on putting it under your ear or behind your ear.
Yeah.
Or you tuck it behind your ear, and then you keep on writing. Again, it comes on your face. You tuck it behind. So for that, according to professionals, they'll be like, no, this person is not serious. How can they be having a lot of hair? But the advice that she gave was like, if you have a tendency of maybe having liking long hair, usually when you have a lot of hair in the workplace, it shows that you have a lot of distractions. So tie your hair up, if it means tying it. By the way, that's professional world.
Mm-hmm.
Caution, professional world.
Right.
Tie your hair up. That means you're serious with what you're doing. You're serious with what the tasks that will come up on your table. You tackle them properly because nothing is distracting you. So if possible, tie your hair up. And even if you have long hair, you can just tie it or put a band just to ensure that nothing distracts you. And those are some things that maybe can be included in hair policies. In our workplaces. But for schools, I also like the fact that everyone is in uniform. And, for example, here in Zambia, we have a policy where I used to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
There's that policy where you can plait your hair from Monday to Thursday. And then on Friday, you loosen it up and comb it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the same routine, Monday to Thursday, you can plait it. Friday, you loosen it up. That was a routine. And I think those are quite important because I think that shows in the black setting, I think that shows that we are able to also, view our friends' hairs and say, oh, she has kink hair. Oh, she has loose hair. Oh, okay. You tend to accept each one's hairs in as much as they are tied up, you can plait it, I think we heard of Jelita Mlenga. Those to my books, they used to have plaited hair to my cottons and all that, especially in schools, yeah. But if we have to be inclusive with all, I think we can be able to just let them realize that everyone comes from different places and different religions. And it's important to include everyone at in the best way possible regarding on where they come from. But I think there should be a policy at the end of the day. There should be a policy that governs, or just like the way uniforms govern, or without knowing who's who and what status they hold.
Sure, sure. Well, Martha, thank you so much for joining us for this very, very interesting conversation. And it's been eye-opening on some levels, and very, I think it's going to be something that we can continue speaking about as the show goes on. But thank you so much for your time this morning. God bless you. I look forward to chatting with you again soon.
Thank you so much, Bongi, for having me. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you so much.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.